We now went on very comfortably for some time, but I began to find that my incomings and temporal things would not meet the outgoings, and I soon got into barrenness in my circumstances, which proved a sore trial to my mind, being in the midst of enemies that were daily watching for my halting, and having such a tremendous salary, £3 a week, out of which some thought I might lay by a good deal of money. But I found that he who wears the shoe can best tell how it fits, for I found, as our 10 children grew up, their mouths, backs, bellies, and feet all grew too, and wanted more and more. But to say anything to the people about their raising me more money, I thought would be considered by some an unpardonable thing, for we had some in the church at that time who wondered how ever I could have a conscience to receive £3 a week, and I do believe in my very heart that there were one or two at that time who stood as members with us that had more trouble and concern about my salary, how I ought to manage and lay out my money, and what I might save, and lost more sleep in making it out than ever they had about the salvation of their souls. I recollect one day I was so pressed down with a few debts that amounted to about £10, and that I could not abide in the house, and I went out to take a walk in the fields. I happened to meet a friend who attended our chapel, and he asked me how I did, to which I answered that I was pretty well in body. He then said, "I am glad to see you, and I hope you will not take any offense at what I am going to say. I have a £10 note, which is of no present use to me, and if it will be of any service to you, I shall take it a pleasure in giving it to you, and I shall think it an honor that you will receive it from me." I thanked him for his kindness, and told him it would be very acceptable at the present time. I was so full I could not say much more at that time. So we parted, and I went into the fields, and what an opening up I had of the mercies, goodness, power, faithfulness, and majesty of my covenant God and Father. The whole creation was adorned with beauties, and I could see my Father in them all. Oh, what delights and glories are there in those words of the Apostle, and when they drop into the heart at such seasons, and those that have ever tasted them can feel and see their glory better than they can describe them. All things are yours, and whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The precious words that fastened me at Trowbridge came with fresh sweetness, beauty, and glory. Abide in this city, for I have much people here. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy water shall be sure. And for the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine, and all the gold and silver is mine, and the hearts of all men are at my disposal. I quickly dispersed the £10, which settled a few things that had lain very heavily upon my mind. But I soon found myself obliged to mention all to the friends, and that I should be glad if they would advance me the rent of my house in addition to my salary, and for I found it impossible to pay it out of my present income, my wife about this time being confined of her last child, which made up the dozen. One child we had lost by death, which was our third, and one we had left in the north when we came to Trowbridge, and so that now we had 10 of them at home. The friends seemed very agreeable to pay the rent, but after some time some of them thought that it was more than the cause could do, so two or three of the deacons came up to our house and told me that the friends had had a consultation about paying my rent, and they had come to the conclusion that it was more than the cause could do. But as it appeared, I could not do without it. A plan had come to their mind which, if I would accede to, It might ease the church and answer the end as well for me. This plan was that if I would take the rent of my dwelling house upon myself, they, the church, would give me 2 months a year to go out supplying where the Lord might open a way for me, and they, the church, would find supplies for the 2 months on this condition that I should take 1 month in the spring and the other in the autumn. And to this they hoped I would agree, as it would be an easement to the church. Without a moment's consideration, I agreed to it, and told them that though I did not know any church that would ever send for me to supply a month for them, yet as it was the desire of the church, it should be so. After they were gone, I had plenty of work within. Surely, thinks I, this is an evidence that they are tired of me, and this is a side way to get rid of me. Oh, what an advantage did a devil in my own heart take of this! What shaking I felt from these words! The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Well, thinks I, it will be just as it was in Rochdale. As soon as the chapel was finished, I had no comfort nor peace, and with a few till I was gone, and surely it will be the case here. Oh, I felt as if I could hear the very roaring of the devil. Where is your confidence now of abiding in this city? It is like all your other fleshly confidence. It will all end in the flesh, and all the great blaze and noise that you have made in the country will all come down upon your own head. And what will you do? You keep sinking more and more into debt, and as soon as ever your best friends know that your large salary is not sufficient to keep you out of debt, and they will think you do not manage it as you ought, and they will turn their backs upon you, and you will be brought to have neither house to live in nor bed to lie down on. Here I was brought into such feelings of mind that I could see nothing but the workhouse for me and my family. I know, and there are plenty of professors that have got faith at their fingers' ends and laugh at such weakness, but it is no laughing matter to those dear children of God that are shut up in these things, for they well know by soul experience what Job meant. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. And David said, I am shut up and cannot come forth. And this brought him to cry from his heart, Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. My soul knows by painful experience what it is to be shut up in unbelief and not be able to trust God for a groat. Yea, and whilst I was telling the dear children of God every Lord's Day to cease from their own wisdom and to trust in the Lord, and verily they should be fed, for their Father had all in his hands and his promises would never fail, I could not trust him and went left to myself with either body or soul for time and eternity. I am as sure of it that faith is the gift of God as ever I am that my life is in the hands of God. Ay, and I would always believe if I could, for all is very comfortable and easy when I can believe God to be my God, and I can behold him going before me. Jesus says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, they follow him, and sweet following it is when they see his glorious person and hear his blessed voice, for they know his voice by the power that attends it. For where the word of a king is, there is power. They know his voice, too, by the humility that accompanies it, for it humbles and melts the soul into godly contrition before him. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. They also know his voice, and by the sweet drawing influence it produces, for it draws up every feeling of the soul in love to the good shepherd, and how delightful and pleasant it is to sing with David, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They know his voice too by the confidence it creates. For how blessedly can the soul then say, "This is my God, and I have waited for him. He is my Father's God, and I will extol him." They know his voice also by the blessed contentedness that it produces, and how sweet it is to say, "A little with the fear of the Lord is better than great treasures and troubles therewith." A dinner of herbs where love is better than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. They then know and feel to the comfort of their souls that godliness with contentment is great gain. Some professors tell us, and there is no such thing as a feeling religion, but the dear child of God that has been stripped and clothed, emptied and filled, wounded and healed, famished and fed, killed and made alive, damned and saved, he knows that his religion began with feeling, is carried on with feeling, and hopes to leave the world with feeling the love, mercy, grace, and kindness of his dear shepherd, that has loved the sheep and given his life for them, and at times hopes when his poor, tried, tempted, tossed, and often shipwrecked soul shall enter into the harbor of eternal rest, that he shall be brim full of feeling the love of his covenant God and Savior, so that he will shout and sing to all eternity unto him that has loved us and washed us in his own blood, be honor, glory, dominion, and power forever and ever. But to return, I could neither see nor feel nor believe how it could be possible that I could get on without bringing a reproach upon the truth. That is, I should never be able to manage with my large family and pay my debts as I went on. Here I was for about a fortnight, and had nothing but sighs, groans, and tears. My tears were my meat day and night for nearly 3 weeks, and I durst not tell my troubles to my nearest bosom friend amongst all the church, for the amazing salary of £3 a week was talked of privately and publicly, in the pulpit and in the pew, east, west, north, and south of Trowbridge, all wondering whatever the parson did with his money. But after I had tugged and toiled, planned and schemed, raved and torn till my strength was gone, I was brought to see that I could not make one hair white or black, that the stature was fixed, and that by my taking thought I could never add to it one cubit, and that whatever imaginations might be in my heart, the purpose of God must and would stand. I threw down my weapons of rebellion, and fell a poor, blind, burdened, forlorn, dejected wretch upon the tender mercies of him that had delivered. But I could not get a bit further with the text than "who hath delivered." Here then I lay with my burden and grief, till one morning, if I recollect right, about 5 weeks after I had agreed to pay my rent, and have 2 months in the year my own, to supply where the Lord might open a way, the postman brought me a letter inviting me to go to London to supply a few Lord's days and for my old friend and brother, Mr. Robbins, who preached in Conway Street to a number of Mr. Huntington's people and that had separated after his death. Oh, thinks I, what can this mean? And I trembled from head to foot. Oh, cried I never can preach 3 or 4 Lord's days to Mr. Huntington's old people, for I had not forgotten the terrible shaking I had for some time before this, and when I preached for them one night, weeknight at Conway Street Chapel, as I passed through London, and the very sight of Mr. Huntington's people then very nearly frightened me to death. According to my feelings, I did get through my sermon in a middling way, but when I had done, such trembling came upon me that I shook like a leaf, and I began to look over what I had said, and I could see so many things that I had left out that I ought to have brought in, that it appeared to me nothing but confusion and disorder. Oh, what a fool I called myself all the time they were singing the hymn after sermon. How shall I stand, thinks I, when I go into the vestry? They will pull me all to pieces and tell me to go to Jericho and stop there till my beard is grown. I thought I could see and hear them talk together. Did you ever hear such an ignorant, bawling fool as this before? But when I got into the vestry, many came in and spoke very kindly, and hoped the Lord would be with me. But somehow I thought I could perceive that others of them were glad the evening was over. Remembering all this, how will it be, thinks I, if I have to stop 3 or 4 Lord's days? Sometimes I thought I had better send them word that I could not go. Then the interview which I once had with Mr. Huntington struck my mind, and how the Lord was with me, and that it had turned out better than all my fears.